Coming to you from North Central Ohio, we share with you the Voice of the Nazarene, a week-by-week venture into the Word of God sponsored by the Bucyrus, Ohio Church of the Nazarene. We join our pastor, Reverend Ray LaSalle, and the Voice of the Nazarene.
It's not a lot that, there is a lot that can be said about Christmas, but I'm amazed there's not a lot written biblically about Christmas. Matthew and Luke are the only two that allude to the theme of Christmas. Now you can go way out and you can find some obscure passage that will tie in and give you background and all on Christmas, but I'm talking about the Christmas story, only Matthew and Luke. And there in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, it's speaking about the wise men. They were wise men. Now, I know you don't know any, but back then they had wise men. And they were wealthy men. And I believe they were well-born men. In fact, they probably were the descendants of Daniel. They're coming from that from Babylon, and evidently, if they were descendants, they're probably Jewish. They were astronomers. They studied the heavens. They studied the sky. They studied the stars, and a star appeared, and something told them, this is what you've been looking for. They were seekers. They didn't have all the answers, but they were seeking for the Messiah. And when they saw his star, it got their attention. And it reads in verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Need to keep in mind the wise men were never at the manger. Nearly 2 years have passed, and they come and they find a child, and it's in the house of Joseph and Mary, not in a manger, but in a house. Need to keep in mind that they had to cross the Euphrates River to get there. How they did that, I do not know. And they had to travel many, many miles across desert. Probably they came by camel. That was a mode of travel in that day in desert lands. Camel can survive many, many days without water because they store water in the hump on their back. And so they had traveled probably more than 1,500 miles. Evidently it took about a year and a half to 2 years. So by this time, the Christ child would be nearly 2 years of age. You've got all that, okay? Move on, and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, were these three wise men? I don't know. I rather doubt there was just three wise men. I have a feeling three wise men would not have troubled Herod. And if you read the scripture, it said that all of Jerusalem was troubled. I would say there was probably a large entourage. Many, many men in this group. And Herod was so troubled. And all of Jerusalem's troubled. And in verse 12, it reads, of course, they had brought their gifts, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Joseph appeared to Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus Christ. Did you know there's not one word that Joseph ever said that was recorded in the Bible? Yet he was so important. He bore up under what people were saying. He tried to live down the doubts that he had in his own mind because an angel had assured him that she was a virgin. And I imagine some of you guys would have got shook up if your young bride told you she was with child but had never been involved with any man. You'd have questions. You'd wrestle with them through the years. And it went on to say, arise, take the young child, his mother, flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. What I'm wanting to talk to you about, just for a few minutes, probably the most simple message I've ever endeavored to bring in these 31 years at Christmas time. I want to talk to you about the message that's found in these wise men's gifts. I believe that God is speaking through these gifts and has something to say to all of us, a message if we can catch it. Now, the whole idea of giving started with the wise men. Did you know that more will be spent this year at Christmas time than in all of the history of this country? And it all began with wise men bringing and giving some gifts on what they and we sometimes consider the Christmas story. Middle-aged woman had posted on her wish list on the refrigerator door what she wanted. She wasn't specific, but she alluded to what she wanted for Christmas. And she knew her husband, he went to the refrigerator many, many times, and he would see on her wish list. And she wrote down she wanted something very sexy and beautiful. So when Christmas came, she expected to open a package with some lingerie, expensive, of course. And to her utter surprise, she got an exercise bike. There was another guy that did better than that. He was one of these kind of guys that spoiled his wife. Don't you despise them guys? He indulged her. He just loaded her down with gifts and praise. And he had traveled out of the country, and he'd seen in a shop a parrot that was going for $2,000, and he asked why. They said this parrot can speak in 11 different languages fluently. He shelled out $2,000, bought it for his wife, and had it shipped to her. And of course, they put a red bow on its head and made it look good and put it in this special wrapping so it could live, and had it shipped home. And when he arrived back home and sat down at the table for supper, said, how did you like the Christmas gift? She said it was beautiful. Fact of the matter, said he's in the oven right now while we speak. He said, in the oven? I paid $2,000. That bird could speak in 11 languages. And she was almost in tears. She said, well, why didn't he say something? A gift. These wise men brought gifts. And I see in these wise men gifts, there's an underlining message. All three of those gifts that those wise men brought. There's something I believe that God wants us to see. And God has a message. I believe God's got an infallible, irrefutable message in his divine word. If you read it, there's some gifts in it. And look at the three gifts just quickly this morning. The gold teaches us that God is our provider. He is our provider. God uses people. I believe that God uses poor people and God uses rich people. I believe that God uses illiterate people and God uses educated people. I believe that God is just as apt to use a black person as he is a white person, or a yellow person and a red person. God uses all people. And when you begin to read the story of Mary and Joseph, they were not rich people. They were poor people. Why do you think they were poor? Because when they brought Jesus on the day of purification, the eighth day, it was the offering that they brought. You see, you never came to God without bringing an offering. And according to Leviticus, if you came into the presence of God, you were to bring a lamb as your offering, an unblemished lamb. But the book of Leviticus says that if you could not afford a lamb, you were allowed to bring two pigeons. You could go out and catch a pigeon. get another pigeon and you can approach God. And when Mary and Joseph came in on that day, they brought two pigeons according to Luke chapter 2, verse 24. No doubt in my mind, Mary was illiterate, could not read nor write. Women weren't allowed too much in that day at all. Out of the 250 million people, women were not allowed to go to school. So here's a very poor couple. They didn't have anything. When the wise men showed up, God put on their heart to bring some gold to give to Mary and Joseph. Not so they could store up things, not so they could go on a buying spurge, but God knew that Herod was out to destroy all the male children to get rid of any possible challenger to his kingdom. He would have all the male children down in that area killed. And God sent an angel to Joseph, told him he was warned in a dream. And I believe that God can talk to us a lot of ways. I believe he can jump right out of the scripture and talk to you. I believe he can speak through somebody else to you and into your spirit. I believe that God can even speak to us in a dream, and he did Joseph. And being warned, you better flee Israel. You better go into Egypt. He had no money until those wise men showed up. And God was Joseph and Mary's provider, giving them enough till they could afford to relocate. What was Joseph? He was a carpenter. He would have to set up his shop somewhere else and live there until Herod died. I'm simply trying to say to you and myself, the fact that God is our provider. Where God guides, he always provides. And where God leads, he always succeeds. Psalm 37:25 said, I have been young, but now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I like Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe the secret to success is wanting to give more than wanting to receive. I've always noticed that givers always have enough and takers never have enough. So God provides. The government is not your provider. When Rome fell, more than 50% of Rome was on welfare. I'm not fighting welfare, but our government here in America through socialism has made it so easy for people not to want to work and just live off the government. And they see the government as their provider. What Rome did, once they got you on that roll as a recipient, they had you in a voting block. You would vote those leaders back in and back in, so they would just feed you and give you handouts. That's where we're at in America right now. That's not popular, but it was in my notes. So I wanted to tell you what I'd written. God is your provider. And so when they brought the gift of gold, it proves to us, it teaches us that God is my provider. When they had those coal mines down in the mid-south, they had houses built and they had a company store, and you would go there and you would get the things and they would take it out of your paycheck, took the rent out of your paycheck. You look to the company as your provider. God is saying, no, I'm your provider. And God can get you to the place you'll realize that only God can provide. But then they brought frankincense. Now, what is frankincense? Some of the sap from a tree. And it was used as incense. Beautiful odor, smell. And it tells us that God deserves our praise. What is the sole purpose of man? It's to honor and glorify God. And any time incense is mentioned in the Bible, it's in connection with worship. The high priest in the Old Testament would use incense during a worship service. And when they brought incense, look at verse 11, it says, and when they came, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and what did they do? They worshiped him. They planned to have a worship service. I think when we come to church, we ought to plan to have a worship service. Amen. I don't think we ought to just have a catharsis and everybody have a big emotional letdown and tell how bad it's all been. And I'm not against any of that. You can get you an old spiritual and sing it, how bad it's been. But I think it's good to get together and worship the Lord. And I'm grateful for Mary. She was worthy. She kept herself clean morally. She was willing. Thy will be done. But I don't worship Mary. When they came, they didn't worship Mary. They worshiped him. There's only one man, only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Only one to be worshiped. The only one born in the manger. The only one that died for our sins. He's our propitiation. He's the one that rose again and ascended back to the Father, died a vicarious death. Only one that rose triumphantly. He's the one to be worshiped. He merits our worship. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I want to talk about him a little bit more. Do you know that you can worship when you go to the convenience store by the way you live? And when the change is counted out and it's wrong, you give it back. It's worship. It's letting people know that you love God and you're going to live righteously. I think that we can worship when we go to work and we give a full day's work to our employer. I think we can worship down there because we don't listen to the dirty stories and we don't tell the dirty stories. I think that we can worship by the way that we treat our husbands. We worship by the way we treat our wife. We worship by the way we treat our children. We worship by the way that we treat our fellow man and one another. We worship God by how you act. You worship God by the way you react. Sometimes our reaction speaks louder than our actions, because all worship is expressing our love to God. We're showing how much that we love him. Pastor, you just asked me, okay, Pastor. Does love and worship always change the situation? I don't know. Hadn't always changed it for me. Amazing thing about it is changed my attitude towards the situation. John the Revelator was on the island. The island wasn't on him. And we can climb on top of things and we don't have to let everything be on top of us waiting us down. Prayer is like praise. I don't know if it always changes the situation, but it always changes me. And let me just jump off of that for a moment and tell you that prayer is listed 100 or 1,565 times in Scripture. You may not know this, but for every time that prayer is mentioned, praise is mentioned 50 more times. Way more emphasis on our praise than our prayer. And sometimes in our prayer life, we sound like old McDonald's farm, a gimme, gimme here, and a gimme, gimme there, and a gimme, gimme, gimme everywhere. And I want to tell you something. When you get to heaven, there's no more gimmes. You're not going to be praying over yonder. You're going to be praising. And some of us need to practice up down here about this thing of praising. And I don't care what our national background might be. Some of us better express a little bit of it on our countenance and get our hands involved and begin to praise God. God deserves praise. You say, well, Pastor, this has been the most difficult Christmas season that I've ever faced. I understand that. Some of our people have lost their companions over this last year. Some of you have faced death. Some of you have gone through very difficult health times. It's been a tough season physically in your life. You're wondering if you'd even get through 2023. It may be that all kinds of adversities have hit you. But I found praise may not always change situations, but it always changes my spiritual climate in my heart. And it reminds me of that if I got what I deserved, I'd be hopeless. Are you with me? I just thank God that God allowed my parents to get saved. Our home was broken up. Mom had remarried. And I remember Mama coming and getting my brother and I. My two sisters were a lot older than my brother Jim and I, and one had already married and the other was moving toward that. I believe I'd be in hell this morning if they hadn't come and got us and got us out of the situation we were in. And the only reason they came, they got in a little Nazarene church and God put them under conviction. And they gave their hearts to Christ. And Mama said to Dad, I don't think I can live without my boys and face God. Can we get the boys? Dad didn't have any kids. Dad had just come out of that great theater of war called the Second World War, and he was jumpy, and he had been in the battlefield where the dead were everywhere, and I don't know much that happened in his life because he was totally silent, would never tell you a thing. Those were tough years, but they began to go to church nearly every night. I thank God for the little Christian schools that I attended. No bigger than a knot hole, but they were a Christian school, and I was around some other Christian kids. Fact of the matter, only a few weeks ago, I drove to Anderson, Indiana, to be with some of my fellow classmates. There wasn't even enough of us to be in the same class. We were just in the same school. Handful of us met at a restaurant. It was so good to have the fellowship after all of these years. I thank God. I thank God for the people that God brought into my life that impressed me. Preachers that something about them that I really liked and I wanted to be like them, and I was bettered because I was around them. Not everybody do you want to be around, but I thank God for those he brought into my life. And he radically changed my life, and I don't think I'll ever get over it. The Bible said we're to rejoice because our name's written down in heaven. I do. But I rejoice because of good people just like you who are in my life. The frankincense here teaches us that God deserves our praise. One-third of the world is starving to death. Two-thirds of the world went to bed hungry last night. Our greatest worry right now facing Christmas is not having enough to eat. I'm worried about eating too much. Don't you think we have something to thank God for, folk? I thank you, Lord, that I've got an automobile. Fact of the matter, I hate to tell you, I've even got an old red truck. I've even got a house to live in. I've got electricity to keep the furnaces running. It's only $590 this month. I think my wife ought to pay it, don't you? As her Christmas gift to me. I thank God that I've got any health. I thank God for my family. I'm glad I've got two children. My greatest desire is for them to be what they ought to be spiritually. I'm glad they're getting ahead financially, but I want them to get ahead spiritually, and I want the grandkids not to miss heaven. God's worthy of our praise. The gold teaches us that God will provide. And the frankincense teaches us that God deserves our praise. And then the myrrh teaches us that God is permanent. He's forever. He's forever. Now, if you live long enough, everybody and everything that you put your confidence in will either fail or disappoint you. If you live long enough, everybody and everything that you placed your confidence in will either fail or disappoint you, except the Lord. He's permanent. He'll go with you clear to the end. He'll never leave us, the Bible said, nor forsake us. I don't know about you. That's pretty good news for me. So that's why I say don't look to man. Don't follow just any one man. The best of men are men at best. They have feet of clay. And if you get your eyes on somebody and use them as an excuse, you shouldn't have had your eyes on them in the first place. Better get your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to understand. I preached some funerals this last year, and I've looked into the faces of those that were saying goodbye to their loved ones, and it's reminded me there's only one that's going to go with us all the way. Only one that's going to follow us clear to the end, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So no matter how close you are to anyone, the only permanent relationship is Jesus. I had a buddy, his name was Mike Morgan. Anybody that knew Mike really liked Mike. He's brilliant. He's a preacher. He'd showed up at one of my revivals and he was very amused. He'd show up at other revivals. Eventually called me to come hold a revival at his church. Wanted me to go in business with him. I didn't. He owned a lot of things, big old double engine planes, and he was a multimillionaire, owned rentals and companies and a factory and H&R Block stores. He did my taxes. And it came clear down to the last day of tax where you had to, I had my extensions, and then I come to the last day, and that's the last day, and there's no more allowances. And I didn't have my statement back, and I got on the phone, and I called Mr. Mike Morgan. I said, "This is Ray LaSalle. Can we talk?" He said, I'll talk with you for a moment. I said, "You know, today is the last filing day. You got my taxes done?" He said, "I've been working on them right now." But he said, "I can't talk very long." He said, "They're coming right now with an ambulance for me." And it was the last conversation I ever had with Mike. We were buddies. We were buddies. I was going into a big business with him right at that time. It was a car agency. He never came out of the hospital alive. I stood at his graveside. I spoke at his funeral. I had to immediately get another tax guy. So I got Bob Bedford, another buddy of mine. He did my taxes, and then he went and died. Nobody seems to want to do my taxes anymore. But I'm sure glad the Lord hadn't died. I'm glad he hadn't left me. I've buried some of my best friends. They're gone. I'm looking around, and I'm the only guy to be friend with, about nearly. I worry about whether I'll be around. I'm just glad the Lord will never leave us, forsake us. Why did they bring myrrh? Was used to embalm bodies. They used myrrh when they wrapped the body of Christ up. It symbolized death. And what Jesus is saying, I'm the only one that can go with you all the way clear to the end. I'm the resurrection of the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You say, "Well, Pastor, I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic." Listen real close. Eternity's too long to be wrong. You better be sure what you believe's right. I'm glad there's a Lord, and I'm glad I put my vote on his side. Somebody said that life is a dressing room, and out of that we go to heaven. And I believe they're pretty much right. We go into the dressing room and then we leave. Life is like that. Life is so short. Life is so brief. It passes quickly. And there's a message for us. There's an underlying message from those gifts. There's a message God's trying to get to us. Get it down. Those wise men on their journey got lost. The wise men got lost. Some of us need to get real lost so we can get found. You hear? We get caught up in religion. We get caught up in some routine. And as long as we're doing that, we think we're right. And if we're not careful, it's not a relationship. There in Lima, Ohio, my old pastor buddy had started a church. And Levi had gotten a call. He had a lady that came to his church. The man would show up once in a while, but he was one of these guys who could quote a lot of Bible and tell you a lot of theories and theology, and he loved to argue with preachers. And he knew so much, he didn't pay to get into an argument with him. And he was dying. And she called and said, "Levi, can you get here?" He rushed across Lima and slipped into the house and leaned over the bed, and he said, "You realize you're dying?" He said, "Yes." He said, I'd like to be your pastor. You always wanted to argue with me, but I don't have time to argue with you. He said, you need to get saved. He said, why is that? He said, because you're lost. And he looked up and he said, preacher, I've been around the Bible and religion and churches and preachers so long. I wish I could get lost. If I could get lost enough, maybe I could get saved. And some of us need to lay down a lot of junk and a lot of stuff and really get converted. We've been around the church and still have temper tantrums. And been around church and we still fuss around at home. I'm just simply saying we need to get lost enough till we can get found. And the wise men arrived at the wrong location. They arrived at Jerusalem. And they asked the question, where is he at? Where's he at? Boy, did that stir up the old throne and Herod. And Herod, the Bible said, called in his scribes and they began to look into the scripture. They opened up the Old Testament and began to look for prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. And they said, according to the scripture, he's to be born in Bethlehem. If you're looking for him, he must be somewhere around Bethlehem. And so they headed up towards Bethlehem and looked up and they saw the star. And they followed the star till it came right over the place where the child was. The star and the scripture. I believe that every one of us, the same thing that finally had brought him to the right place is the same thing that can bring us to him. And that's the scripture. And the scripture says, for all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. You don't have to show a child how to sin. They do it naturally. You say, well, I was born this way. That's why I'm this way. You're right. You're born that way. That's your problem. I'm not arguing that. Sin will twist you, and born in sin, it messes with you. But I'm glad there's a God that can change you. That's the good news. We don't have to remain where we are. God loves us too much to let us stay where we are. He wants to change us. You don't have to tell a kid to throw a tantrum. They know how to do it naturally. They just do it. Why? They were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. I was, you were. We were born sinners. Sinners by birth. Sinners by nature. And if you remain in that, you'll be a sinner by choice. You say, well, Pastor, what do I have to do to go to heaven? All you have to do is surrender to Jesus Christ and his program. Amen. Fact of the matter, here's the bottom line. Our sins, they have to be accounted for, and you could have your sins either pardoned by Christ in his death, or those sins will be punished in hell. Bottom line, the wages of sin is death. And you'll either accept Jesus' death, or you're going to have to die in your own sins. Now, I'm not perfect. You don't have to say amen. Why start now? I'm not perfect. I would say I probably have more weaknesses than I have strengths. But if heaven's perfect, and that's what the Bible teaches, then I'm not perfect enough on my own. I'm going to have to get in on the ticket of somebody else. That's why I chose Jesus. He was sinless. He took my sin so I can take his sinlessness. And friend, in case you didn't know it, you need to know this morning. You weren't perfect either. And if you get into heaven, you'll get into heaven because of his credit. It'd be on his account. You better accept the fact that he died for your sins and get your sins confessed to him so they can be forgiven. So what I have to do, accept Jesus as the only hope. Then I love that 12th verse. Those wise men, the Bible said they went home a different way. And you can leave church different than when you came this morning. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I just give you the mess of my life. I give you my weaknesses. I give you my faults. I give you this old brain of mine that gets all screwed up and I get bad attitude sometimes. I give it all to you. I'm not the perfect person. But I'll take your perfection if you'll take my imperfections. You take my losses, I'll take your successes. I give you all I am, and I take all there is of you. Christmas is the fact that God sent his Son in human flesh because we weren't good enough. We needed a Savior. If I needed an education, he'd sent me an educator. If I needed a political system, he'd have sent a politician. But I needed a Savior. And Jesus came, and they couldn't keep him in the cradle. He made his way to the cross, and now he's wearing a crown. And I want to join him. Father.
Thanks for being a part of the Voice of the Nazarene. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. with BNC's Pastor Ray LaSalle. For more information regarding BNC, visit BucyrusNazarene.org.